Tapovanam, Chapter 11, Loving Mother Sai.
Love is my food, truth is my breath, bliss is my food. My life is my message, expansion is my life, my life is my message. My life is my message, expansion is my life. Reason for love, no reason for love, no birth, no death. No reason for love, no reason for love, no birth, no death.
Love is my form. Truth is my breath. Bliss is my food. My life is my message. Expansion is my life. No reason for love. No season for love. No birth. No death. Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Love of a thousand mothers. Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba devotes 3/4 of his precious time to his students only. He feels that the future of society rests solely on these innocent, clear-hearted children. He is all love for them. He tells them, "Look at me within your own selves. I look at myself in you. You are my life, my breath, and my soul. You are all, every one of you, my form. When I love you, I love my own self. When you love yourselves, you are loving only me." Agony moves Bhagwan. Bhagwan was once in Vrindavan with his students. He said, "When I am here, you are distracted and are not studying properly. If I go away to Puttaparthi, you will devote yourselves to your studies. I am leaving for Puttaparthi at 8:30 a.m. tomorrow." The students touched his feet and prayed, "Swami, please, Swami, stay here. We will study well." But Swami insisted on leaving. "Your parents entrusted you to my care. How can I see you running around me without studying? I must leave tomorrow." The next day was Monday. It was 8:30 a.m. In front of the Trayi, Baba's white car was ready. The distressed students were also there with agony in their faces. Swami came down from his residence in the upper floor. The students humbly prayed and begged, but did not succeed. Swami took his seat in the car and left. With hearts heavy, the children went back to their rooms in the hostel. Their minds were full of Swami. What they read could not enter their minds. The absence of Swami rendered the entire environment colorless, lifeless, listless, dark, and silent. Every student quietly kept to his own room. No word, no greeting, no conversation, no pleasure, nothing but gloom. Barely 15 minutes passed when suddenly a student shouted, "Swami is back! Swami is back!" The rest of the students thought that he was perhaps in a delusion. More than the others, he must have imagined a car arriving. But a few curious fellows peeped out of their windows. There, Swami's car was really entering the ashram precincts. A couple of students were indeed running behind it. That was enough. All the students ran like deer on wings. By the time Swami alighted from his vehicle, they stood around it. Surprise on one side and delight on the other were choking them. As Swami entered and went up the staircase, students were mutely standing below, staring at each other. What has happened? Why has Swami returned? Nobody knew. Then Swami spoke to them. A mere mention that I am leaving creates so much commotion and disturbance. Everything gets upset. In the midst of all the chaos, I forgot to take the keys, so I came back to take them. What is this? Can Swami forget keys? The hearts of the children were full with emotion and immeasurable happiness. Not a single eye remained dry. Silence ruled everywhere. But then they feared that Swami might get hold of his keys after all and go away. One student hesitatingly asked, "Swami, shall we put things back in the car?" Pretending to show anger, which everybody could see was not there, Swami said, "No, I will leave in the evening." But the students, clever as they were, did not fail to see the bubbling smile behind Swami's show of anger. They all cried with one voice, "Swami, Swami, please stay here, Swami." Swami turned to them and said, "Look, your sincere, transparent distress has dragged me back. If you want me to stay here, you should work hard on your studies. I assure you, I will stay here. Get busy now with your studies." Spirituality connotes agonizing for God, intense yearning for God, and undergoing suffering and distress in quest of God. These are the essential features of spirituality. The flower of love. Once Swami paid a visit to Dharmakshetra in Mumbai. Teachers and students of Balavikas there made excellent arrangements to welcome him. Students sat in orderly rows, each of them holding a rose to be offered to Swami. Their faces were glowing in happy anticipation. There was a small child among them. He was too young to be admitted to the Balavikas organization. He was nevertheless attending classes along with other members. He had also got several slokas by heart. As he was too young to be seated in the front row, the teacher made him sit in a rear row. He was also not given a rose to hold. The little one's pain at being discriminated showed in his morose face. As he was keen to present a flower to Swami, just like the others, he requested some of them for a rose, but received none. Swami arrived on the dot. He walked along the rows of boys who were holding up flowers to him. He gently touched each flower offered to him and blessed every student. The little child was watching each step and each gesture of Swami as he slowly made his way along. Quietly, he slipped himself into the front row. Swami was now nearing him. Just at that moment, the child chanced to see in front of him a tiny flower of grass. He snatched it up and held it in his hand. When Swami arrived right in front of him, he raised his little hands and made his loving but uncommon offering to Bhagwan. Swami smiled sweetly, accepted the simple offering from the child, and softly pressed his tender fingers. In appreciation of the little one's gesture, Swami patted him affectionately and also spoke a few words to him. While Swami merely touched the fine roses offered by the others, he carried in his hand the humble grass flower the little child so lovingly offered. The meetings that followed lasted 3 hours. After they ended, Swami came out and blessed those gathered there. But the little grass flower of love was still in Bhagwan's hand, as fresh as it was 3 hours back. Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai notices the yearning and distress lying deep in the heart of a devotee and responds to it. "Shed a tear for me." This happened in 1976. Swami was in Vrindavan. Several engineers were moving all over the place holding some construction plans in their hands. Sri Satya Sai came out to give darshan to the assembled gathering. To the students crowded around him, he said, "My dear boys, I am having a new hostel constructed for you. It will be very roomy and comfortable. It will come up at a little distance away at the back of our college building." Speaking for all of them, one of the boys said, "Swami, we are quite comfortable here, quite satisfied and happy. We do not want a new hostel, Swami. This Vrindavan is our home." Swami explained, "My dear boys, if you consider Vrindavan as your home, that's well and good. and I am happy that you are adjusting yourself to it and feeling satisfied. All the same, I am unable to bear the sight of you little boys cramped for space. It is my duty to ensure your comfort. Foundation stone for the new hostel building will be laid on the coming Thursday. Having said this, he moved ahead towards the open space beyond the portico to bless those waiting for his darshan. The foundation stone laying ceremony was to take place hardly 48 hours later. Engineers were very busy, but the students remained dissatisfied. They did not know what to do. When Baba visited the hostel on the next day, a boy, the youngest of them all, placed a letter in Baba's hand. He read it through and lovingly smiled at the little fellow. Then he sat on his throne and sent for the warden. When he presented himself, Swami gave the letter to him and asked it to be read aloud. It read as follows: Dearest Sai Mother, our humblest salutations to your lotus feet. Are you displeased with us? Are we disturbing the silence that is most dear to you? Are we violating the code of discipline and behaving without due restraint? It must be. Otherwise, why would you try to send us away from the beautiful precincts of Vrindavan? Why do you insist that a new hostel for us should be built at a far-off location? Vrindavan is a gracious place. It has brought your sweet and protective love and care very close to us. Even gods would desire to enjoy such love. With heartfelt love and affection, your child. P.S. If you are determined at any rate to build the new hostel far away from Vrindavan, kindly build also a new residence for you and stay close to us. As the warden finished reading, there was not a single boy without tears. In one voice they cried, Swami, please accept our request. Bhagwan's heart melted at the sight. He immediately sent for the chief engineer and conveyed the student's wish. He demurred, These plans have all been drawn with extreme care, and not much time is left for laying the foundation stone too. But the boys told him with one voice that only Vrindavan should be their home. Seeing the mood of the boys, Swami indicated to the chief engineer to have the plans redrawn. Fresh plans were made locating the new hostel within the Vrindavan complex. On hearing the exciting news, the children were in ecstasy. On the appointed day, when Bhagwan Sri Satyasai was about to light the lamp of Arati, a boy said, Swami, you are doing so much for our sake, but we have nothing to offer to you. Swami replied, Happy tears are trickling down your tender cheeks. That is all that I want. Shed a tear for me. What I desire most is only your happiness. That noble structure which stands now in the Vrindavan complex is a sweet monument, enduring for all time, to Baba's immense love for children. In 1976, a number of deer from the adjoining forests of Mudumalai strayed into Vrindavan. A nice place opposite to the Trayi was provided for them. Swami fed them with apples and looked after them with love. One day, as Swami emerged out of the Trayi to give darshan, students ran to him. At the same moment, in the garden opposite, deer too wanted to be close to Swami and moved up to him near the wire mesh that stood around the garden. Baba drew the attention of a devotee standing by to the enchanting scene comprising of the loving children and the equally loving deer. He said, These are two-legged deer and those are four-legged deer. Both are dear to me. Flew driven away. Influenza once spread like wildfire in the higher secondary school in Prashanti Nilayam. Nearly 200 students were affected. After the evening bhajan concluded, Swami asked Dr. Alreja to pay a visit to the school. The doctor found about 200 students suffering from high temperature, cough and vomiting. The infection seemed to be beyond control. It was then 8 p.m. As the doctor made his way back to his room, he thought that as Swami's room would be closed at that hour, he would report to him next morning. At 8:30 p.m., a volunteer came to tell him that Swami was waiting for him. The doctor hurried into Swami's presence. Baba asked him, "I was waiting for you. Why have you not come to me immediately?" The doctor replied, "Swami, by the time I returned, it was 8 p.m. I thought that your door would be closed by that hour. About 200 students are suffering there from flu. I find it impossible to arrest its spread. I am afraid at this stage no medicine can help. Only you can save them." Next morning, Baba visited the school and the hospital. He walked through every single veranda and classroom. He went up to the roof also, despite the principal's protestations that it was not properly cleaned up. Swami then called for a stainless steel bucket filled with water. He materialized vibhuti in immense quantities and poured it into the water. He asked one of the teachers to carry the bucket around and serve the vibhuti water to every teacher and every student. The disease spread no further from then on. Within a space of 4 days, every single patient recovered fully. Swami's medical treatment is amazing and inscrutable. Supremacy of spiritual learning. What should we pray to God for? Not for worldly wealth and enjoyment, not for material things and property, but for God Himself. Every blessing comes by itself in the wake of God. The learning that makes man yearn for God is known as spiritual learning. Swami once described how Yashoda went after her prankster child Krishna. Yashoda, he said, held a lump of butter in one hand. While she showed it to Krishna with a view to enticing him, she kept at her back the other hand holding a stick. When the little child drew near for butter, she would grasp him and deal a couple of strokes with the stick. That was her way of putting her errant child straight. Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai reaches for us exactly in the same way with worldly learning in his open hand, but holds spiritual learning in the other hidden hand. Boys and girls come eagerly seeking admission into his educational institutions, colleges and university. Swami receives them and imparts spiritual learning along with worldly learning. Even an ordinary individual is gradually processed and refined in this manner. Man becomes truly wise in course of time. Swami's indescribable love makes it possible. In Baba's seats of learning, children are educated from kindergarten level to postgraduate level, absolutely free of charge. MBA, MFM, M.Tech computer courses have also been introduced in the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, a deemed university. There are, in addition to normal courses at bachelor's level in arts, science and commerce, and master's level courses in arts and sciences. Facilities are available for doctoral studies as well. A number of big, neat, roomy and airy buildings have been built. A state-of-the-art planetarium costing crores of rupees has been installed. In November 2001, a new music college was also opened in the university campus. These are all tokens of Baba's boundless love for children. Side by side with these symbols of worldly learning, Baba ensures that the students receive spiritual learning too. My children are my entire property. On 22nd November 1981, the day the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning was inaugurated, Swami addressed the students. He said, "Students should be the roots from which would grow trees of peace and security for the world. My purpose is to water those roots. I am dedicating myself in every way to students. I have immense faith in them. You ask anyone what property Sai Baba holds in his name, you will be told, 'Oh, he has so many buildings, so much land, and so on.' All those possessions amount to nothing. My sole property is nothing but my children." There are many who are unable to understand this simple truth. Such unfortunate persons who cannot imagine even a single mother's love can never gauge the love of a thousand mothers. The most sublime quality of Sri Sathya Sai is limitless patience. He says, "Countless persons criticize me. There are many who call me by all sorts of names. All kinds of vile things are written about me in newspapers. thousands of pamphlets are published against me. I have only one answer to all of them. My smile. These are all but vicious reactions to what is indisputably good. Stones are hurled only at fruit-bearing trees. Some people are envious and intolerant by nature. As more and more Satya Sai organizations blossom, as more and more Satya Sai universities grow, their jealousy too grows by leaps and bounds. They fabricate more false stories, accusations and gossip. Even children are dragged into these malicious activities. Paramatma Swarupullara, what to say of these small-minded persons? Even if the whole world unites against me, no harm comes to me. My heart is always pure. I have no selfish ends. I have nothing of my own. This is my truth. Only criminals are beset with fear. Why should a lion doing no wrong be afraid? Whatever I do is for the welfare of the world, not for myself. I am aware of this irresistible truth. Hence, I am ever in bliss, unbroken bliss. Frolicsome God. In 1983, students of the Satya Sai College arranged a science exhibition in the Kalyana Mandapam. Sri Govind Narayanan, then governor of Karnataka, was visiting Vrindavan for Swami's darshan. Baba brought him along to see the exhibition. On show were several models, scientific devices and artifacts made by students. One of the items was an alarm equipment. A ray of light proceeds from one end to the other, and if a hand is placed in between, an alarm rings. As Swami went round and reached that equipment, the student who had devised it told him, "Swami, please put your hand here and the alarm rings." Swami did so, but there was no sound. The student got perplexed. He said, "Just a moment, Swami, something seems to have gone wrong. I will set it right." He tinkered with it a little, put his hand between the two ends, and sure enough, the alarm rang. Confident now, the student invited Swami to insert his hand. He did so again, but the alarm did not ring. The student got thoroughly confused by now and mumbled something about the equipment needing another repair. Then Swami told him, "It needs no repair. I am not that kind of a thief for whom you have designed this." So, quite rightly, the alarm did not ring. He moved on. Science is not capable of reaching Swami. He transcends science. Tolerance. Many years back, students in the primary school in Puttaparthi used to take their daily morning bath in cold water. Swami felt sad and thought, "Parents of these tender young children left them in my care because of their immense trust in me. Poor fellows, they have only cold water to bathe in every day." That thought soon led to the provision of solar heaters, which heat water using sun rays. In no time, they were installed in the hostel. Students, teachers and the principal of the school were very pleased. They prayed to Swami to inaugurate the solar heater system and he agreed. Arrangements for inauguration were soon completed. The equipment was connected to a tap by a rubber tube. When Swami arrives and turns that tap, hot water would flow into a bucket placed below. They did not have to wait long. Swami arrived and he turned the tap. Unfortunately, the rubber tube got detached just at that moment, and there was a burst of hot water on Swami's face and his garments. The sudden and unforeseen mishap shocked everybody. There was embarrassed silence all around. Not a hand moved to correct the situation, as the onlookers stood petrified. Swami understood their misery. He laughed aloud to break the spell and said, "Look! The inaugural bath has been taken by me." Swami's laughter and pleasant remarks brought relief to everyone. Their hearts became light and they could breathe easily. Everyone joined in Swami's laughter. Baba is ever merciful. He knows no anger. "My life is my message," he says. "It is a message of love, compassion and mercy. There is no place for anger." Benefit from closeness to Baba. Once Swami was in Kodaikanal. Sitting in his room, he was looking out at the crowds waiting outside for his darshan. Several students were sitting at his feet around him. Swami told them, "Do you realize how fortunate you are? Thousands are waiting outside for me. Here you are, enjoying the privilege of serving at my feet. But you do not know how fortunate and lucky you are. I am giving you this opportunity so that you will be close to me. If I feel like it, I can walk across the sky from one side to the other. If only I do it, the whole world would be at my feet. Several lakhs of devotees would swarm to me. But at that time, not one of you would have the opportunity of being so close to me. Armed guards would always surround me for my protection. I assure you, those days are not far off. Believe me, a day will come when you will barely be able, from a long distance and with great effort, to spot a tiny red flash of my robes. You will realize Swami's glory when I walk across the sky from one end to the other. So, as of now, try to derive benefit from every single moment of your closeness to Swami." On one occasion, a program of sports was organized in the Hillview Stadium. Inaugurating the games, Swami released two white pigeons. As the games were underway, Swami and some distinguished guests watched from a dais. After some time, they noticed the same pigeons, earlier released, flying in the sky across the dais. Swami observed, "Look at those birds. They have been with us for a long time. Therefore, they have become incapable of adjusting themselves to the outside world, although they have been set free." No doubt Swami was then referring only to those two pigeons. But what he said then applies to all his dear students and devotees. Chapter 12. The Temples of Healing. You will understand me only through my work. That is why sometimes, in order to reveal who I am, I myself show you my visiting card, something that you all call a miracle. Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Super Speciality Hospitals. For the benefit of the poor, Bhagwan established in Puttaparthi the Satya Sai General Hospital in 1956. Everyone knows that the hospital as well as the doctors there are mere instruments. The real doctor is Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba himself. There are any number of instances where Bhagwan himself took over and miraculously cured patients who had been given up or could not even be diagnosed by doctors. Then Bhagwan willed that a super speciality hospital be established, where treatment costing several lakhs of rupees elsewhere would be given free of charge, and the hospital would become another wonder of the world. The divine will fructified in no time. On 22nd November 1990, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba laid the foundation stone and proclaimed that exactly 1 year later, on 22nd November 1991, the hospital would be inaugurated. The super speciality hospital was designed by an eminent architect, Dr. Keith Critchlow, director of the Prince of Wales Institute of Architecture in London. On the suggestion of Sir Isaac Tigret, he came to Prashanti Nilayam and had Swami's darshan. Swami granted interview to him, during which he explained to the architect the intricacies of designing the proposed hospital. Elaborating what he had visualized, Bhagwan pointed out Vastu, the Hindu science of architecture, planetary and astrological aspects that needed to be considered. The engineer was astounded at the depth and extent of Swami's technical knowledge. He returned to London and set about drawing up a design according to Swami's instructions. He was not successful. On the advice of a friend, he imagined himself to be a mere tool in Baba's hands. He surrendered himself totally to Baba's mercy. He prayed earnestly to Baba, and then he started the work afresh. He took a long piece of drawing paper. From one end to the other, in one single effort, he drew a sketch of hospital. He added one ward at each end, extending on either side and bending towards the middle, as though two loving hands were extended and then closed around the object of that love, just as directed by Swami. A group of architects took over at this point. They worked for 3 months, 17 hours a day, filling up every detail and completed all the designs and plans. They sent the entire set to the construction company in India, designated by Swami. But Dr. Critchlow had his own doubts. Even in a technically very advanced country like the USA, a super speciality hospital of this kind cannot be constructed in less than 7 years. How can then Swami build this hospital in 6 months, he wondered. Architects arrived from London. They laid the foundations and erected concrete pillars of 3 to 4 feet height. When Swami went to Bangalore in May, these architects also left the site and returned home. On 22nd May 1991, on his way to Kodaikanal from Bangalore, Swami took Colonel Joga Rao along and went to the site to see how far the work had progressed. From that day to the already announced day of inauguration, that is 22nd November 1991, time available was precisely 6 months. The structure was to be a majestic one. Up-to-date medical equipment was to be procured and installed, and 1,000 other requirements had to be met before the facility could be made functional. Colonel Joga Rao said, "Swami, even if we put thousands of workers on this job and make them work day and night, can we complete the project by 22nd November? What about funds?" Swami interrupted, "Do not create waves of doubt and indecision. Swami's will is bound to be fulfilled." He then summoned the Indian engineer Brigadier Bose and instructed him, "Get 2,000 workers through Messrs. Larsen and Tubro. Put them on the job and complete it on time." He left for Kodaikanal. Brigadier Bose did as he was instructed by Swami. He left the entire burden wholeheartedly on Swami's divine shoulders. He engaged more than 2,000 workers daily and ensured that work went on day and night without intermission. His efforts bore rich fruit. Even by 15th October 1991, more than a month ahead of the proclaimed day of inauguration, the mighty building was completed and handed over to the medical experts for equipping. Sir Isaac Tigret donated several items of medical equipment. Government of India waived duties and taxes and transported them to Puttaparthi by air. To enable jet aircraft to fly to Puttaparthi directly and unload cargo without delay, the Satyasai Aerodrome had been upgraded and designated as an international airport a year earlier. With a donation of 1 crore of rupees from John Sinclair of the American Sai Foundation, up-to-date equipment for carrying out blood tests was procured from the USA. It can perform 20 different kinds of blood tests in respect of 600 patients per hour and hand down the results for study and analysis by doctors. Its computer can store the results pertaining to 10 million patients and can download any information on demand. Finally, the great day, 22nd November 1991, arrived. In accordance with the divine will of Bhagwan Sri Satyasai Baba, on the very first day of inaugurating the hospital, as many as 4 open-heart surgeries were performed. How wonderful! What a miracle! The day of inauguration had been announced in advance exactly 1 year ago. 6 months back, there were only uncultivated agricultural fields at that spot. Within a span of 5 months and a half, magnificent buildings came up. The rarest and the most modern medical equipment arrived directly at the Puttaparthi airport. The hospital was declared open precisely on the date announced a year previously. Open-heart surgeries were performed on the opening day itself. Is it all believable? Experts all over the world were astonished. Another similar super speciality hospital has been constructed in Bangalore. That is also with the divine sankalpa of Bhagwan Baba. In November 1999, an announcement was made about the hospital, and by November 2000, it was ready in full swing. Inaugurating it on 19th November 2000, Bhagwan Sri Satyasai stated, Sai institutions are eternal. They will serve the poor forever. One cannot but amazingly stare at Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai's Sankalpa and how he executes it. He once declared, "My will is bound to be fulfilled. Even if the 14 worlds, Chaturdasa Bhuvanams, join together to oppose me, they cannot prevent whatever I will to do. Nobody has the capacity to comprehend my divine power. None of the gods from Lord Brahma downwards can comprehend it. Even a 10 millionth part thereof is much beyond comprehension of the brainiest man." These sublime words of Bhagavan should be cherished by mankind. Potency of Prasadam. A couple brought their little daughter sick with heart trouble to Puttaparthi. Doctors at the super speciality hospital found 2 or 3 holes in her heart. As the case was considered an emergency one, they decided to perform open heart surgery the very next morning. She was immediately admitted. The distraught father decided to inform Baba about the crisis early next morning and to obtain his blessings. So he went and sat in the audience hall. The ever merciful Baba was moving among the devotees. A boy whose birthday happened to be on that day brought toffees and offered them to Swami. Baba accepted them and threw handfuls of the toffees among the seated devotees. A piece landed in the lap of the heartbroken father of the heart patient. He was overjoyed and accepted it as Swami's holy prasadam. He took it to his daughter and made her eat it. A little while later, the patient was moved in for operation. The doctors took last-minute x-rays and to their consternation found no trace of anything wrong with her heart. They decided that she needed no operation and discharged her. Is it possible for anybody to describe Swami's immeasurable love and mercy in words? Who has performed the surgery? A man suffering from a number of ailments got his heart examined in the super speciality hospital. His condition was extremely distressing. Doctors felt that he was in no position to undergo the strain of surgical intervention and refused to do anything. The patient began to pray fervently to Swami. He prayed to Bhagwan that he should somehow get the operation done and restore him to normal health. Bhagwan heard his prayer. He talked to the doctors and inquired how this particular patient was doing. They explained that he was suffering from several complaints and in their opinion it was not a fit case for operation. Swami said, "Go ahead and perform the operation. Nothing untoward will happen. I will oversee it." The operation was performed, and to the utter disbelief of doctors, it was successful. Some days later, Swami inquired about his health. The doctors informed him that the operation was very successful and that the patient was in an excellent condition. It is a usual practice at the super speciality hospital to take video films of operations performed in complicated cases. Swami asked the doctors to view one of those video films. They were surprised when they did so. They found around the operation table Swami in several forms resembling each one of them. Relieved of their pride and ego, they realized that it was Swami and Swami alone who was performing operations, and that they were only incidental, mere tools in his divine hands. With utter humility, they bowed to the lotus feet of Bhagwan. The super speciality hospital rapidly grew from strength to strength. It has departments of cardiology, cardiothoracic surgery, uronephrology, and ophthalmology. There is also a lithotripsy center specialized in breaking the stones in urinary tract with the use of high energy waves. In this hospital, all kinds of treatment and surgical operations, which elsewhere would cost lakhs of rupees, are done totally free of cost. It is acclaimed as one of the wonders of the world. Speaking about this hospital, Swami said, "Here patients are ever cheerful. Their relatives are also happy and cheerful. Doctors smile as they serve the patients. Nurses cheerfully attend to their duties. The whole place is full of happiness. Seva Dal workers are busy cleaning and polishing the wards and rooms spick and span. No fees or any charges of any kind are levied in this hospital. Doctors elsewhere wonder how it is possible to provide medical facilities of this high order totally free of charge. There should be no occasion for such wonder or doubt. A job done with a pure heart suffers no dearth of funds. Why hospital if God is here? There are always inveterate doubters who question what is the need for a hospital if God incarnate is right here to attend to every problem of the devotees. Bhagwan Sri Satyasai referred to such doubts and said, some people might be questioning, Swami is capable of healing the sick by his mere will. Why then is needed a hospital of this size and attendant paraphernalia? Let them think a little further. This one is not the only hospital of mine. Suppose there is a person in Chennai who runs a clinic or hospital. He treats handicapped children and heals them. His healing center too is mine. As a matter of fact, every single hospital, irrespective of where it stands, belongs to me. I am overseeing every one of them. Why go so far? Those who pray to me from the bottom of their hearts, seeking my help, irrespective of who they are, from whatever place they pray, be it hospital or home or any other spot, irrespective of the language in which they pray, all of them are mine. They belong to me. Do not confine me to the few acres of land around Prashanti Nilayam. Whenever a person prays earnestly for Prashanti, the spot from where the person prays will become a Prashanti Nilayam. Remember another salient fact. This hospital helps to inculcate faith in you, to enable you to recognize divinity and to cast away doubts from your mind. Besides healing the sick, a hospital serves another purpose also. Some people have blind faith in medicines and injections. It is my duty to provide medical help to such persons also. Their faith in God and His mercy is not yet firm. A hospital is definitely needed to help them too. To each, a different treatment. A few years ago, Dr. Sita Ramayya, one of the doctors in the hospital in Prashanti Nilayam, was not keeping good health and was bedridden. Bhagwan Baba went to his room to inquire about his health. He sat by his side, cut an apple and fed him with his own hands and left. Sri Kasturi was with Swami all the while. He thought, how blessed is this doctor. Even illness has brought him so much good fortune. Swami himself walked into his room, inquired about him, cut a fruit with his own hands and fed him piece by piece. How I wish I had fallen ill. Sometime later, Sri Kasturi too fell ill with pain in his backbone. He could hardly move. He hoped that Swami might visit him too. But Swami sent word asking him to come to his room immediately. Pain or no pain, there was no question of disregarding Swami's summons. So Sri Kasturi made his way laboriously to Swami's presence. Swami gave him a bundle of New Year calendars and ordered him, take these calendars and distribute them yourself, one for each room. Go. Without a murmur, Sri Kasturi picked up the bundle, went to every room on every floor of every building in Prashanti Nilayam and completed the distribution according to Swami's instructions. Seeing his agony, some persons offered to do the work for him, but he did not agree. They requested to be allowed at least to carry the heavy bundle for him, but he declined. Sri Kasturi later said, how do they know why I turned down their kindly offer? This was Swami's treatment to the pain in the backbone of Sri Kasturi. Chapter 13. Paramam Vichitram Leela Vibhutim. The Miraculous Vibhuti. Vibhuti. What I materialize is a manifestation of divinity with a potent significance as well as symbolization. It is symbolic of the cosmic, immortal and infinite nature of all forms of God. Atma or the spirit is what is left when everything worldly and transient has burnt away. In first place, It is symbolic of the life-death cycle in which everything ultimately reduces itself to ash. For dust thou art, and unto dust shall thou returnest. Ash or dust is the final condition. It can undergo no further change. In the spiritual context, it constitutes a warning to the recipient to give up desires, burn all passions, attachments and temptation in the fires of worship, which makes one pure in thought, word and deed. It is a symbol of divinity. Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Vibhuti cancels cancer. Once an advocate arrived at Prashanti Nilayam. He was a chronic smoker. Cancer afflicted his throat. Doctors advised surgery along with radiation and chemotherapy. He desired to obtain Swami's permission before the commencement of the treatment. On arrival, the ever-merciful Bhagwan invited him into the interview room. Asking him to hold his palms together to form a bowl, he materialized and poured a large quantity of vibhuti into them and asked him to eat it all. It was dark in color and tasted like bitter gourd. Swami affectionately cajoled and persuaded and helped him to finish it. After the interview, the man walked out and went into the canteen for a cup of coffee. As he was at it, his eyes fell on nearby pakodas. Unable to resist, he ate a plateful. Due to pain in his throat, he had not been able for a long time to eat properly despite his keen desire and strong taste for food. But now he noticed that he could eat comfortably and relish it. He was surprised. With his finger, he probed inside his mouth at the cancer-affected spot. He felt no pain at all. He realized that the cancer had gone. He was overwhelmed. Tears flooded his eyes as he remembered Bhagwan's mercy. When on the next day also Swami called him into the interview room, he expressed his gratitude to Swami and fell on his feet. He told Swami that he was proficient in Sindhi and begged to be permitted to translate and publish the Sindhi edition of Sanatana Sarathi. Swami replied, "It is only for that purpose that I have made you come to Puttaparthi." From then on, the blessed person has been translating and publishing Sanatana Sarathi in Sindhi. Dono Polo. Tribal leader surrenders to him. Before its reconstitution, the region now called Arunachal Pradesh was formerly a part of Assam. Most of its people are tribals. They were demanding a separate state for themselves and were carrying on guerrilla warfare against the government of Assam. Government made every effort to please them and win them over. It spent crores of rupees in their territory on development programs, hospitals, roads, schools and other facilities. Still, the tribals were not satisfied and continued with their separatist demand. In this situation, one of the tribal leaders fell ill with an undiagnosed disease. Government gave him plenty of medical assistance. It got medical tests carried out in reputable hospitals in Calcutta and New Delhi. Nothing helped. He was not able to eat anything at all. His friends and relatives lost all hope. Sri Raja, Home Secretary in the state, had an idea that if the patient could be taken to the divine presence of Bhagwan Sai Baba, it might help. Permission was sought from the government of India. Ultimately, a group of 29 persons, including the ailing tribal leader, set out in the name of All India Tour, Bharat Darshan, and reached Puttaparthi. As they seated themselves in the audience hall, Swami went to them directly and asked in Hindi, "Where are you from?" The secretary replied that they were from Assam. Swami said in English, "Go inside." So they all trooped into the interview room, walking no doubt, but almost like running in their delight and eagerness. After public audience was over, Swami came into the interview room. He materialized vibhuti, gave it to the tribal leader and directed him to eat. He sat on his throne and inquired, "What brings you here?" The secretary explained, "We have come for your darshan. This tribal leader is having some stomach trouble. No treatment helped. medical tests conducted in Calcutta and New Delhi failed to identify the disease. He is unable to contain any solid food. As a result, tribal people of that region have lost faith in our medical system and procedures and hospitals. This man is a prominent tribal leader, and only you can heal him. Swami assured him, "Don't worry, it will be fully cured." Then Swami began to talk to the tribal visitors in their own language. He talked of their village and their environment. He mentioned how the villagers had thought of building a temple for the sun god and the moon god. As he talked, Swami materialized an intricately engraved circular copper plate, 9 inches in diameter. On one side the sun, and on the other the moon were carved. He drew their attention to the delicate craftsmanship of the plate and declared that the temple proposed to be built would become known as Dono Polo, meaning the sun and the moon in their tribal language. He directed the astonished tribals to install this copper plate, yantra, in the temple and to worship it regularly. He said that worship of God is always beneficial. He blessed them with Vibhuti Prasadam and the privilege of touching his lotus feet. The tribals took leave of him with hearts overflowing with joy and happiness. They then made their way to the canteen for refreshments. Their leader saw some white circular pieces of food and asked that they be served to him. The pieces are known as idli, a rice and black gram preparation. His companions were afraid that this solid food might cause vomiting or terrible stomach ache as usual. However, since Swami had granted him divine assurance, they hesitatingly allowed him to consume idli. A plate of idlis and the accompanying sauce was finished by him in seconds. Relishing it, he consumed another plateful. While his companions watched in unbelieving astonishment, this man, who had not tasted any solid food for several years, ate idli after idli, a good 32 of them. The group felt it was miraculous and enjoyed every bit of it. The leader told his friends, "This is no ordinary man. With a little vibhuti, he has completely cured me within minutes of the disease I had suffered for years and years. There is no doubt that he is God incarnate." He talked of the temple. "Dono Polo, we are planning to build for our favorite deities and created the 2 images. Let us surrender to him and strictly follow every word of what he has said." Bhagwan Sai's divine vibhuti healed the tribal leader in moments. When we hear about this magnificent episode and Bhagwan's love and benevolence so readily and profusely showered, we are moved to bow our heads in obeisance to him. Wondrous potency of vibhuti. Vibhuti, the speciality of Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba, not only bestows good health, but in a wonderful manner fulfills other needs also. Patterson was a very successful businessman of Canada. He travels all over the world in connection with his business. On one such travels, he came to India and met Dr. Balakrishna, son of Professor Bhagavantam. Dr. Balakrishna invited him to his home. The residence was decorated like a temple. In the middle of the puja days, there was a throne on which a beautiful photograph of Swami was placed. Patterson was quite impressed and inquired whose picture it was. Dr. Balakrishna told him about Baba and his divine powers, his love and compassion, and how he incarnated in answer to the prayers of devout and saintly persons of eminence for bringing about the deliverance of humanity. As Patterson heard about Baba, his interest grew. He also felt very pleased. He asked Dr. Balakrishna for something like a memento or token so that it would serve to remind him constantly about Sri Sathya Sai Baba. He probably expected a photograph or picture of Swami. But Dr. Balakrishna thought of something more precious. He felt that the best memento of Swami would be Baba's vibhuti. So he gave Patterson a small packet of it. Patterson felt somewhat dismayed and asked, "Ashes? Do you give me ashes to remind me of this great yogi?" Balakrishna gently explained, "These are no ordinary ashes. It is divine vibhuti. It is priceless, invaluable. If you get into some serious trouble and you think that Swami's compassion alone can save you, put a little of it in your mouth and pray to him." Patterson returned by air to New York via London. He was given a seat among women and children. They were making terrible disturbance and noise, and he felt unduly disturbed and very uncomfortable. As the aircraft was nearing London, he suddenly remembered the packet of vibhuti and Dr. Balakrishna's description of its virtues. He immediately opened the packet, placed a little of the holy powder on his tongue, and earnestly prayed to Sri Sathya Sai. He asked Baba to see that he is provided a more comfortable seat, at least on his onward journey from London to New York. When he landed in London, he was surprised to hear his name on the public announcement system. The announcement mentioned him by name and directed him to go to the airline office immediately. When he reached there, he was told that he was allotted a seat in the first class on the London to New York flight. He was immensely pleased and offered to pay the extra charges. The officer on duty told him, to his utter surprise, that the additional fare had already been paid on his behalf. Patterson's heart leaped. Just by consuming a little of Baba's vibhuti and remembering the name of Baba, he could get Baba's helping hand thousands of miles away and have his wish fulfilled. He was moved by Baba's mercy and love. How wondrous is the potency of Baba's vibhuti! It is not only the holiest one, but also it cures any ailment, however chronic it is, and it has the potency to fulfill any desire of the ardent devotee. What a miraculous one! Let's daily use it with love and devotion. Paramam pavitram Baba vibhutim, paramam vichitram lila vibhutim, paramartha ishtartha moksha pradanam Baba vibhutim idamashrayami. Our humblest homage to that embodiment of love and compassion.
Paramam pavitram Baba vibhutim, paramam vichitram lila vibhutim, paramartha ishtartha moksha pradanam Baba vibhutim idamashrayami. Paramam pavitram Baba vibhutim, paramam vichitram lila vibhutim, paramartha ishtartha moksha pradanam Baba vibhutim idamashrayami. Paramam pavitram Baba vibhutim, paramam vichitram lila vibhutim, paramartha ishtartha moksha pradanam Baba vibhutim idamashrayami.